This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that has made itself great partially through a series of great awakenings, religious movements that changed America, that for one thing built up the opposition to slavery, that created the new movement of evangelical Christianity in the United States, created Pentecostal Christianity in the United States. All of these changes are part of our history. And we are going through right now the people who study religious faith and its importance in the United States. We're going right now through a bigger change than any of those in the past, except it's in the other direction. It's not people going back to religion, finding a new religious outlook to inspire them and to motivate them and to rejuvenate them, but we are now finding what is called the Great De-Churching, people leaving organized religion. What people call the rise of the nuns, meaning no religious affiliation. There's a new book. It's already a bestseller. One of the authors is Professor Ryan Burge, who's joined us before, who's both a professor and a pastor based until very recently at Southern Illinois University. Dr. Burge, congratulations on the new book, which you've done together with co-authors Jim Davis and Michael Graham, who are also very directly involved in the church. First of all, one of the things you try to do in the study is ask the question and answer the question, who's leaving? Who is leaving from the church? And then we can get into why.
Yeah, the answer, Michael, is pretty much everybody. I mean, you can't lose 40 million folks and not touch every age group, every political persuasion, every racial group, every, you know, religious tradition. People are leaving from the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the non-denominational church down the road. 40 million people have de-churched over the last couple decades. It's probably the largest religious movement either way. In American history, we say it's larger than the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, and all the Billy Graham Crusades combined were less than 40 million people. So we're net loss now in American religion.
The question is not just why are they going, but first, where are they going? Are they going to some kind of alternative to religion?
The answer is no. By and large, people leave, and they leave everything. We call this is called the third space argument, right? So your first space is your home, you know, your family, where you live. Your second space is where you work. And then what's the third space? You know, for a long time, Americans had lots of third spaces. They had the Elks Club and the Moose Club and the VFW and church, you know, places to go to hang out and be social and be with people. And what we're seeing more and more in this data, and this trend has been going on for 4 years, by the way, is people are leaving third spaces. They're not joining social clubs anymore. Robert Putnam talked about how people aren't bowling in bowling leagues anymore. They're bowling alone. And I think that's what's happening with church. People are leaving it and not finding any replacement. And I think we're sort of seeing we're reaping the seeds that we sowed the last 20 years, and that's, you know, mental illness and depression and anxiety and all the things we're struggling with right now come back to the fact that we don't have good third spaces in American society anymore.
Okay, is there a preponderance of people in a certain age range who are most likely to be part of this great de-churching? In other words, would a couple... let's even say it's a couple, because today, of course, there are fewer and fewer couples and more single people, or people at least who are unmarried. But let's say you have a couple who is 30 years old. Is that couple more likely to de-church than a couple that's 50 years old?
Yes. So the real prime age, if you think about people who are alive today, is between 30 and 45 years old. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. One big one is it's because they grew up at the peak of evangelicalism in America, which really peaked around 1993. So people who were teenagers during that period of time, there were lots and lots of evangelical teenagers during that period of time. And those people went to church often, obviously. And then there's a whole movement we talk about in the book, an entire chapter devoted to these people called ex-evangelicals, people who used to be evangelical. And now not only have left evangelicalism, they've left religion entirely. And a huge part of their identity is really a rejection of everything evangelicalism teaches in terms of, you know, society, sexual orientation, gender identity, politics, and everything else. They are defined by what they left behind.
And what would be the prime motivation? Because that's the title of the book, and the book is posted up at our website, and it's fascinating and it's tremendously important if you believe that there is this great de-churching. And the statistics are, it seems to me, undeniable and totally convincing. The title is The Great De-Churching, Who's Leaving, Why Are They Going, and What Will It Take to Bring Them Back? The most important factor in bringing people back? Dr. Burge, what is it?
It's creating an environment where people feel like that church is a beneficial thing in their lives. And that's not just spiritually beneficial, by the way. I think we think everything is theological. But show them that being part of a religious group will help them in almost every conceivable way. Economically, psychologically, socially, emotionally, but also spiritually at the same time. There's tons of data that we kind of hint at in the book that show in other social science literature, there's a ton of positive effects of being a regular church attender in terms of mental health and economic vitality and mobility. Those are the kind of arguments that young people are more convinced by. If you look at the data, even people who don't go to church, people who have de-churched, a lot of them still believe that Jesus is the Son of God, have very orthodox views on theology. They just don't go to church because they don't see the value in it. And I think we've got to do a better job of saying, no, you are missing something here socially, economically, psychologically, and you should come back for that reason, too.
You do acknowledge that the involvement in politics has not been a positive force in terms of keeping people in the church or drawing people to it.
Yeah, that's something undeniable. We call it the God gap, and it's only gotten larger over the last 30 years or so. If you look at the data, one of the strongest predictors of whether someone is de-churched today is if they're a liberal, political liberal, or a Democrat. For instance, 42% of people who identify as liberal today are non-religious. It's only 12% of people who identify as conservative. If you look back, even in recent history, if you went to an evangelical church in 1988, you were just as likely to sit next to a Republican as you were a Democrat. A Catholic church was the same way, and so were mainline churches. They were evenly split politically. But now that religion, especially white religion, has become so overwhelmingly Republican, it's pushed a lot of people out who like Jesus and like the church, but just don't want to be in an environment where they hear conservative talking points all the time. And honestly, there are not a lot of liberal alternatives in white Protestant Christianity for people who vote for Joe Biden and want to go to church. They can't find a place to go.
And that's even with what people call a lot of the mainstream denominations?
Yeah, we call them mainline churches. That's like the United Methodist, the Episcopalians, United Church of Christ, Evangelical Lutherans. Those are groups who tend to be left of center politically. Not liberal. I wouldn't call them liberal, but I would say left of center politically. Those denominations are going through wholesale decline in America today. For instance, the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, had 3.1 million members in 1984. Today it has 1.1 million members. It's going to have to close in the next 30 or 40 years because it's going to have no one in the pews. That's typical in the mainline right now.
Okay, can you hang on for a few moments? Because I want to talk a little bit about the last portion of the book, which is what will it take to bring them back? As a pastor yourself, you have your own experience in this regard. We're speaking to Professor Pastor Ryan Burge. We'll be right back on the Michael Medved Show.
Her public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, join featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Million people That's almost equal to the population of the state of California, our most populous state. It represents, obviously, you can do the math, close to 15% of all the people, infants, elderly, everything in between in the United States of America. But that's the number of people that research performed by sociologists Dr. Ryan Burge and Dr. Paul Juppe. That's part of the book, The Great Dechurching. Who's leaving, why are they going, and what will it take to bring them back? We've posted information about the book at our website at Michael Medved. The 40 million people are people who have left organized religion, who at one point had a connection with it and then departed. We previously had spoken to a researcher for the New York Times who was reporting that about 4,000 churches close every year in some corner of the United States. Dr. Ryan Burge, does that sound plausible to you?
Oh, incredibly plausible. I mean, think about how many churches there are in America. Hundreds of thousands of churches in America of all stripes, Pentecostal, non-denominational, Catholic, you know, and for 4,000 to close, that's actually a rounding error. If you think about how many churches open in America every year, I would bet it would be several thousand as well. So, you know, I think the number of churches is declining, but not that rapidly because all the church planting that's going on in America. That's really where the emphasis is in a lot of these evangelical denominations, is starting new churches.
And is that the key to what it will take to bring them back, is to start new churches with a new attitude, you'll pardon the expression?
I think there are some churches who are sort of too far gone, we would call it. You know, once you get below 30 or 40, you really become all of one type of person, typically older person. And, you know, it's really hard for a church to grow if young people walk into a church and see 30 people who are all 75 years and up. I mean, they need to be around people who are like them. So starting a new church and maybe, you know, seeding it with a couple young couples with some kids or some teenagers would be a great way to start, because that's how you grow a church. It's a lot easier to grow a religion through retention than conversion. Conversion is really, really hard. If you look at Latter-day Saints, for instance, they do the mission. You know, when you graduate high school, you go on a two-year mission somewhere in America. And the average Latter-day Saint in that two-year mission working full-time for 2 years converts on average 3 people. So that's just how hard conversion is. It's much easier to have kids in your tradition and then just keep them as they move into adulthood.
Well, I know that for the Latter-day Saints, for the Mormon Church, they send people out not just to America, they send people all around the world. Mitt Romney did his mission service in Paris, which apparently was a very, very tough sell for Mitt, as worthy as he may be. Okay, in terms of conversion is not the answer, retention is the answer, which I think is an incredibly important point to make. What is the key requirement for retention to keep people involved? Is it mean that you're probably going to be involved in the church and it won't be just on Sunday morning?
Yeah, I think you have to show your children. This is not something we do on Christmas and Easter. This is not something that we're culturally bound to. This is something that really matters to us as a day-to-day part of our lives. We really weave it into every aspect of our lives. And you really got to be mindful. We looked in the data and we asked people, at what point in your life were you the most religious? And huge numbers of respondents said under the age of 15 years old. So children tend to be very religious. Where they fall out is between ages about 15 and 25. That's the leaky period in American life. And we asked even evangelicals, you know, what did you do during college? Did you go to church? Were you part of a church ministry on campus? And people who did even one religious thing in college, whether it be go to church once a week or be part of a Christian group on campus, were much more likely to stay in the church once they graduated college than people who did none of those things. I mean, you really got to give them any support you can during that precarious part of their lives, and that will carry them through into adulthood, and they're much more likely to stay in church if you do that.
I know that there's another change that people talk about in American life, which has to do with schooling, that there is more and more interest in homeschooling. There is more and more interest in religious schooling of various kinds, new schools pumping up often on a Christian basis. This has been a huge factor in the Jewish world, where basically it used to be a tiny percentage of Jewish people who went to religious schools. They have now grown up in every denomination in Judaism. So is that a factor that also brings some hope? Is there reason to believe that people who are educated through high school, say, in a religious context, are more likely to stay involved through their 20s, 30s, and on?
So an interesting data set I got. So people send me data all the time they're working on, collected over time. And this one was of college students. They surveyed them every year of college, so freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and they asked them a series of religious literacy questions, not just about their faith, but about other faiths, like, you know, Muslims and Buddhists and Catholics and Protestants. And the kids who scored higher on that religious literacy test were actually more religious than the kids who did not score higher on that religious literacy test. So teaching kids about other faiths actually does not make them less religious. It makes them more religious because they're understanding the larger world around them. So I think any education needs to think about teaching not just their religion, but all religions, to give people a sense of where they live in the world and what they believe compared to other faiths. There's this idea called the inoculation effect. You give someone a small challenge to their faith, and it actually makes them stronger over time. You know, and we should challenge young people to think about what they believe, and when they go through these trials, that's how they come out on the other side, still in their religious tradition.
What about homeschooling? I mean, I know that this has been a growing and very dynamic movement in American life. It's something my wife and I wrote about in our book, Saving Childhood. What do your data show about homeschooling and its impact?
So it's definitely growing. It's hard to really gauge because there's hard to get data on homeschooling because you don't have to report in many states. But the best data we have says about 6% of American kids are being homeschooled right now. And I'm actually just analyzing some of homeschooling data for a piece I wrote today. And what you find is they tend to be more conservative, they tend to be more white, and they actually, the universities they go to, the number one and number two universities are Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Hillsdale College. So, you know, they tend to stay in these little kind of more conservative cloisters, but you also see them in places in the South, like University of Kentucky, University of Alabama. So just because they're homeschooled doesn't mean they stay all just in that environment. And the majors they choose look almost exactly like the majors chosen by kids who did not go to homeschool. So they're not that much different, really.
That's fascinating. We know a family which has homeschooled all four of their kids, three of whom have gone to Princeton. But that's another story. The book, The Great Dechurching, it's fascinating and important, and it's also posted on our website. Ryan Burge, thanks for your good work. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
U.S. USA News update. Five detained U.S. citizens were released by Iran in a deal with the Biden administration. Secretary of State Antony Blinken greeted them as they arrived in Doha.
The freedom of these Americans for so long, unjustly imprisoned and detained in Iran, means some pretty basic things. It means that husbands and wives, fathers and children, grandparents can hug each other again.
The Americans are now on a flight from Qatar to the United States. Hunter Biden, the son of President Biden, has filed a lawsuit against the IRS, claiming the agents unlawfully revealed his tax return details. The legal action was initiated in a federal court in Washington, D.C. Monday, shortly after Hunter Biden was indicted on federal gun charges. Amazon is unveiling another Prime Day event called Prime Big Deal Days. It's set for October 10th and 11th. The event will offer discounts on tech, home goods, fashion, and entertainment products. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, we just got an email that came in from Christian. And Christian says, I have a disagreement with your guest. He means Professor Ryan Burge, who's been a guest on the show before and I'm sure will be again. He says, I think people actually are replacing religion. They're replacing it with socio-political ideology. On the left, it's a devotion to what's often called the woke ideology, and on the right, it's a devotion to Trump, to the point that they practically deify him and think he's some kind of messiah. Look, I think that part of what Christian is saying is true. I mean, I don't think there's any question about arguing against it, because it's a point that my friend Rabbi Daniel Lampin has made, and made very effectively, is if you don't believe in the big G, God, the chances are you're going to believe in the little g, government. And the idea of government is politics, is a political formulation or any activity by the government or a point of view. And by the way, well, Christian, your email leads perfectly to something that I wanted to talk about, which is there's a headline in the Jerusalem Post, And the headline in the Jerusalem Post, which it tends to be a center-right newspaper. It is not a left-wing Israeli newspaper. It's a voice of a more conservative point of view. And they say that Trump attacks liberal Jews destroying America in Rosh Hashanah message. And then over in Newsweek, they have another headline, Donald Trump's ominous warning to U.S. Jews sparks horror, full-on Nazi. And it's just, it's very peculiar that President Trump would decide to issue a Rosh Hashanah message to the American Jewish community. Not that he would decide to do it. I think he's done it every year since he's been running for president. And it's quite normal. And every president and every candidate does it because Jewish people are not a big, heavy percentage of the American population, but it's more than 2%. And play a role in a number of very decisive states on the electoral map. But here is what President Trump posted on his Truth Social, and I guess it comes across as a truth. And this is his message to American Jews for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, which just concluded last night. And we had Jewish New Year this year fell on Saturday and Sunday. So we're still in the aftermath. In any event, for the very end of Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the New Year, he said this, just a quick reminder for liberal Jews who voted to destroy America and Israel because you believed false narratives. Let's hope you learned your learn from your mistake, President Trump says, and make better choices moving forward. Happy New Year. First of all, a question here. Does anybody think this is going to be an effective way to change people's minds? In other words, when you talk to people about them having made a mistake to vote against you last time, and you criticize them for that mistake and say what you really voted for, if you voted against me, was you voted, quote, to destroy America and Israel. Let's hope you learned your mistake, learn from your mistake, and make better choices moving forward. Happy New Year. I mean, it's produced not a a particularly positive response. In fact, in the Newsweek article, they quote Amy Spitalnik, who is the CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, who tweeted back at President Trump, criticizing him that Trump marked the end of Rosh Hashanah with an anti-Semitic post accusing Jews who voted against him of, quote, destroying America and Israel. And by the way, it gets worse because on the back of the message that he sent, which has a little drawing with a very flattering picture of President Trump, is a flyer that listed several of Trump's initiatives related to Israel. And the caption for that was, "Wake up, sheep. What Nazi anti-Semite ever did this for the Jewish people or Israel?" And by the way, they spelled Nazi wrong. They spelled Nazi with an N-A-T-Z-I. It's actually, because it's an acronym, it's N-A-Z-I. But obviously they're trying to say that, well, with everything that President Trump did, it's wrong to call him a Nazi. And I certainly think it's wrong to call him a Nazi. But you can call him some other things. The flyer at the back said, noted that Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The Post said that no other president had the, and then it has a, well, had the B, dash, dash, dash to do it. It boasts that Trump recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, and it states that Trump had signed the Never Again Education Bill into law, which funds Holocaust awareness. Clearly one of the greatest anti-Semites of our time, the flyer concluded, which I think was meant to be humorous or satiric or sardonic or something of that nature. And then there's a response from a journalist named Mehdi Hassan, and he says, even by Trumpian anti-Semitic standards, this is pretty disgusting. And on Rosh Hashanah, we have normalized a very old school, very familiar type of anti-Semitic fascism in this country. It's scary stuff. And look, when you go back to the wording as a Rosh Hashanah greeting, where it begins, just a quick reminder for liberal Jews who voted to destroy America and Israel because you believe false narratives. Do you really know other people who voted to destroy America? And that can bring us to another point of controversy. There's a news story today which, with everything else that Congress is doing, there was a change that was made by Senator Schumer. And Senator Schumer, in his concept of being the majority leader for the U.S. Senate. And it's a change having to do with dress codes. Why? Senators will be able to wear whatever they want on the Senate floor after Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a New York Democrat, this weekend directed the Sergeant of Arms not to enforce the Senate's informal dress code. Why'd he do it? We'll get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show.
I'm, of course, deeply honored to receive
the Michael Medved Show.
You know how the line to the song goes, it's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy, it's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Life would not exist if humans were unable to make nitric oxide within our blood vessel walls. There are many factors that reduce our ability to produce enough nitric oxide to enjoy optimal health. Contributors to the development of nitric oxide deficiency include consumption of sugar, unhealthy fats, inflammation, age, and unhealthy lifestyle. Here's the great news about reestablishing optimal nitric oxide levels. Dr. Nathan Bryan, a leading world authority on nitric oxide supplementation, developed the best, great-tasting nitric oxide lozenge called N101, backed by 20 years of science. Beware of companies trying to capitalize on Dr. Bryan's work, selling imitation products claiming to increase nitric oxide. If you are concerned about heart health, diabetes, libido, poor circulation, memory issues, and fatigue, take N101 lozenges and feel good again. Order N101 lozenges, toll-free 877-476-3862. 877-476-3862 or N101.com.
It's deeply and terribly disturbing.
The Michael Medved Show.
That's the voice of Chuck Schumer, Charles Schumer, the representative of Brooklyn, New York, who is the senior senator from the great state of New York, the Empire State, and he is the Senate Majority Leader. And he has just made a decision, it's his right, where, as they report in CBS News, senators will be able to wear whatever they want on the Senate floor after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a New York Democrat, this weekend directed the Sergeant-at-Arms not to enforce the Senate's informal dress code. The Sergeant-at-Arms is elected by senators and acts as a protocol officer in law enforcement, enforcing the rules in the Senate. In a statement to CBS News, Schumer said, "Senators are able to choose what they wear on the Senate floor. I will continue to wear a suit. The change only applies to senators, but other staff members must still follow the code, which requires business attire." CBS's News Nicole Killian reports. Now, who is this made for? This is, according to CBS News, Senator John Fetterman, the newly elected Democrat from Pennsylvania.
It's devastating.
2020. Has been seen wearing a hoodie and gym shorts to work, even before Schumer's announcement. And by the way, when it says he's been seen, he's 6'9". So he is the tallest U.S. senator. You've seen pictures of him. He is the kind of person who would, with his shaved head and little goatee and his gym shorts and hoodies, he would get a certain amount of attention.
Oh, no, oh, no.
Fetterman even donned a sweatshirt for a news briefing about the collapse of I-95 in Pennsylvania, where he appeared with President Biden earlier this year. He still occasionally wears suits, but it isn't uncommon for Fetterman to wear casual clothes. It seems like the dress code hasn't been enforced in quite some time. Still, women have been criticized or even reprimanded in the past for breaking the dress code in the House and Senate. While the dress is informal, it is alleged that sleeveless attire and open-toed shoes were not allowed. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, an independent from Arizona, who is currently running third in all of the polling for her Senate seat in Arizona. She hasn't decided whether she's running again. But she is now formally an independent from Arizona. She's left the Democratic Party. She drew attention for wearing a sleeveless dress the day she was sworn in. Now, when she was sworn in, they made a big deal. She was the first openly bisexual member of the U.S. Senate. This according to Arizona Central. Since then, she has often worn what some have deemed inappropriate clothing, including short sleeves, denim, bright colors, and wigs. One user on X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, shared a photo of Sinema in a pink wig, writing, "This is inappropriate for a senator to dress. Kyrsten Lee Sinema looks like she's going to a rave. Not okay." I'll tell you who else believes that it's not okay is Ron DeSantis. He was at a campaign event today, and he had this today about the change in the dress code in the Senate. Clip 16.
So I don't. Did you guys hear the U.S. Senate just eliminated its dress code? Because you got this guy from Pennsylvania who's got a lot of problems. I mean, let's just be honest, like how he got elected. Well, I mean, he got elected because they didn't want the alternative. But he wears like sweatshirts and hoodies and shorts, and that's his thing. So he would campaign in that, which is your prerogative, right? I mean, if that's what you want to do. But to show up in the United States Senate with that, and not have the decency to put on proper attire, I think it's disrespectful to the body. And I think the fact that the Senate changed the rules to accommodate that, I think speaks very poorly to how they consider that. Look, we need this country, we need to be lifting up our standards in this country, not dumbing down our standards in this country. And this is an example why.
I'm not sure that dressing in... dressing in hoodies and gym shorts is necessarily the best example about dumbing down and lowering standards, but it certainly is one example. Bill Hagerty, who's a Republican senator from Tennessee, also went on Fox News and attacked the majority leader Chuck Schumer for loosening the informal dress code. Listen.
This casual new thing in the Senate that you all are okay to wear, you know, casual clothing, you no longer need a jacket and tie. Was that because of John Fetterman and he wants to wear and he likes to wear his hoodies? Is that the reason that Chuck Schumer made that change?
You know, Chuck Schumer certainly didn't consult with me before he made this change. I think it's just another step in the movement by the Democrats to, quote, transform America, to take us to a different place, and to take us to a place that is much less respectful than we historically have been. The United States Senate is the world's most important deliberative body, and to see it completely downgraded, no dress code now, I just think it's another step in the wrong direction.
Well, again, this is actually they go back in the CBS article in 2012, well, a long time ago, 11 years ago. Representative Bobby Rush, an Illinois Democrat, was escorted from the House floor for wearing a hoodie and sunglasses. But he was escorted from the House floor and wearing the hoodie and sunglasses because he was talking about Trayvon Martin, the black teenager who was shot and killed by a member of the Sanford, Florida Neighborhood Watch that year. The hoodie had become a symbol for Martin, who was wearing a hoodie when he was killed while walking at night. And there's also been a growing trend of wearing sneakers along with business attire in Congress. Well, come on, if they're black sneakers, what's wrong with that? sneakers along with business attire. Representative Jared Moskowitz, another Democrat from Florida, is leading the charge to get Congress to change its dress code. The self-proclaimed sneakerhead and said corporate America has already begun to abandon dress codes for comfortable kicks. Moskowitz and Senator and Representative Lori Chavez de Remmer, a Democrat from Oregon, created a bipartisan congressional sneaker caucus to spark conversations and help bridge the divide between members of Congress. There's also, Jeremy just sent me a photograph of Ron DeSantis. Now, he's not on the floor of Congress, but I think that he was, he's wearing a sort of a sweater vest and jeans and high knee socks. I think he was playing baseball. He was quite a baseball player in college. And he doesn't look like the height of elegance or dignity, and wearing rubber boots during it's not a baseball game, it's during a flood. That's why he's wearing white boots. It just looks, how do you put it, undignified, they're all saying. Speaking of undignified and Congress, there is also a new book by Representative Luna of Florida, and it's, I'll just read it to you and you see if you can figure it out. It features an orange, which is well caricatured to look like Trump, and it's called The Legend of Naranja. All the fruit and fruit land are excited for the big race that will determine their next leader. Naranja is the crowd favorite, but when Senor Banana puts Sweet Lady Manzana, which means apple, in danger, Naranja must decide what's really important. Will he squeeze the day and become the next leader of Fruitland, or save Lady Manzana from becoming applesauce? Every child, I'm sure, is going to cherish this particular children's book. Congratulations to Representative Luna, a Republican of Florida, and to this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Restaurante and Bar, while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. A-L-L-E-G-R-E-T-T-O Resort.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advented Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advented Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.